What's going on? It's your boy Mixman to be here live from the MNB Radio Studios or the MNB Radio Podcast. Where no topic is too big or too small, we talk about them all. And on the phone lines tonight, I want to welcome in a guest who I've admired from afar for quite a while through social media, through all of her different scenes online and all of her different platforms. You can find her on Twitch and TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and wherever. You could just Google her. And I'm so excited now to be able to say that I'm talking to her. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit closer to the experience that is Ms. Alex Cole. Alex, what's going on?
Hi, not too much going on. Thank you for the wonderful introduction.
Yes, I said thank you again. It's, you know, it's cool to have you on because, again, I've been a fan from afar, as many people are. You know, the adult industry is so big and it's become so, like, it's like a whole universe of its own now. And there's so many different fans out there who, you know, they try to find different ways to interact with a lot of the talent. And again, I've been a fan for a while. And when I saw the opportunity to have you on, you know, I was like, you know what? Michael Jordan always said, you always miss 100% of the shots you never take. So I was like, I'm going to take this shot. I'm going to ask you to come on the show. And you obliged. And, you know, that's awesome. I'm glad that you're here. So I'm ready to get to know a little bit about you tonight.
Thank you, and I'm so glad you did, and you were super nice and flexible with the scheduling. I appreciate that. So let's get into it.
Definitely. So an adult entertainer, I guess that's the new PC way of saying it, you know, because I've asked before to different people, like, what do you, like, the title that you like? Porn star, adult entertainer. Mm-hmm. I guess adult entertainer kind of just kind of puts you in a big umbrella that you can kind of branch out and do all kinds of different things in the adult realm.
Yeah, no, actually, I go by adult performer, and I have for a long time. I feel like, personally, and a lot of other people I've talked to have the feeling that when you go by porn star, it's kind of a little cocky, and a lot of people feel like unless you're a household name, you're not really a porn star. So I've never personally been comfortable with calling myself that. I like adult performer. It keeps things very specific to what they are.
And it's crazy that you say that, because I've had previous guests on who have mentioned something along the same lines where it's like, you know, when you say a porn star, or like, who's really a porn star anymore? Because
Right. Just
like any other form of entertainment, things have become more accessible. It's a lot easier. Anybody can just grab a webcam and just start, you know, going away at it and posting it online and claiming that they're a porn star. Whereas
Right. I'm
old enough to remember, you know, actual, like, legit porn starlets, you know, like the big names, the big, you know, elaborate
names,
yes,
you know?
The big elaborate names.
People that you could mention, like, you know how Brazzers gets mentioned on Family Guy. It's a household name. And that's the same kind of a thing that I feel like YouTube entertainers run into, where somebody could have 100 million subscribers and then most people still don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
So I think we've hit the same thing now that porn has become so mainstream.
Now, when you got into it, what was your thought process and, you know, getting into it? Because it's not something that, I mean, a lot of people fantasize about wanting to do this business. A lot of people fantasize about wanting to, you know, be known and seen and, you know, the clout that comes with being, you know, fantasized about. But what is, like, what was the mindset going into it? Like, what was your intentions going into it?
So I had a couple intentions. The first one, I'll be honest, I was working three jobs, and my partner at the time felt like I didn't have any time for them, and they suggested webcam. So that's what got me interested in the first place. But as soon as I started watching cam girls doing their shows, my intention changed, and it wasn't just a, oh, this might be a way to have to work less. It was more of a, oh, this is a way that I could actually explore myself and meet a shit ton of, like, really cool people, and just I would be able to, like, enjoy my days a lot more. So it went from, oh, this might be a way to work less, to this could be something that I love doing so much that I want to do it forever.
And a lot of people get into it all for the wrong reasons, and you hear so many different horror stories. So when you started doing the webcamming and it kind of snowballed into, you know, being, you know, contracted to do scenes and everything, what was that journey and process like? Because there's a lot of people who may be listening right now who are interested in getting into that, don't really know where to go. And you know as well as anybody else, there's a lot of demons in this business that, you know, just like any business, that'll try to swerve you into doing something that you're not comfortable with doing. So kind of take us through that whole process of getting into being contracted to do actual scenes and not just webcamming?
Yeah, so the first step to go from, and I don't really think of it necessarily as a step up, but a step sideways. So the first step to going from cam girl to mainstream porn performer would probably be finding an agent. So people will try to recruit you and things like that. I highly recommend talking to girls that are already in porn and or guys that are already in porn and seeing how they like their agent or how they like their agency. And then once you have the names of a few good agencies, go and talk to each one of them and tell them what your goals are, what you're happy to do, what you might do, and what you don't want to do. And talk to them about how they are going to work with you. Are they going to have more of a partner vibe, or are they going to be more like a boss? Like, these are all things that I think people should check before they get in. I think too, before you start camming or before you start doing porn, you should always decide if it's really for you by checking to see, like, who's the worst person that could possibly find out that I do this? And then you have to be okay with that person finding out, or else you shouldn't do this at all.
It's great you brought that up because there are a lot of people who do it and then regret it later because, you know, it's permanent. You know, it's almost like a tattoo. Tattoos you can get removed. You can't always scrub stuff off the internet. So what was the process, or what was everybody's reactions that you knew, family wise, friends wise? Were there people that were kind of, you know, disowning of you? Were there people that were trying to hinder you from wanting to get into it and do it any further?
You know, there were a variety of reactions. Concern was the main reaction, and then once I explained that I was, you know, I was safe and happy and and doing pretty well, that kind of fixed anybody who was concerned about me. I had a couple friends realize that they had watched my videos on Pornhub, and then they saw me and they were like, "Oh, when did you change your hair color?" And so they weren't able to stay friends with me because they felt weird about masturbating to me when they didn't realize they were masturbating to me. My cousins are great. They're super supportive. My cousins and my brother are like, more of my cousins are gung-ho supporters, where they're like, anytime I'm up for an award or something, they text me. And they're one of my cousins, his wife watches all my podcasts, so hi to her if she's listening. And it was really cute because he called me one day and he was like, "Hey, I got to ask you something. It might be awkward, so feel free to stop me at any time. But my wife was wondering if it's okay for her to keep listening to your interviews because she feels like it makes her feel a lot closer to you." And that was just one of the moments that I don't think I'll ever forget.
Yeah, I mean, because there has to be a sense of awkwardness every time. Like, I'm trying to think if I knew somebody that was in my family that was doing it, you know, even though I host a
Oh,
podcast,
yeah.
like, there's still got to be a sense of awkwardness. Like you said, your brother, it's like, he's like, that's still my sister, you know, like,
Right.
and then you say it about how, like, they know you're doing well and everything, but, like, what were some of their concerns? Because you hear so many
Well,
weird, like, theories and, you know, what it goes on in the business. Like, what were some of the things
sure.
that they brought up that were like, hey, so I heard that, you know, they lock people in basements and make them watch, you know,
Well,
horrible reruns?
thankfully, none of that. My brother at first, he was the first person to find out, and he had called me and he was upset and he was worried, like, "Are you on drugs or are you okay?" and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, "I am perfectly fine." And we had to talk about it and everything was fine. But that was honestly the only conversation I even had to have with anybody. Everybody else has been like, "Hey, are you good? You happy? Okay, cool." And then pretty much moved on, which has been lucky.
Yeah, because not everybody's had that pleasant experience. I've had guests on where, you know, like it's really screwed up their family life, and they said there's no
Yeah.
going back to that. So what do you think is the biggest misconception of being in the business? Like you said, people say, "Oh, are you on drugs?" Like, I hear that one a lot, but what do people really think that
I
are
think
not
the
in the know?
biggest, sorry to cut you off. I think the biggest misconception that I run into is people thinking that I'm super slutty. Which surprisingly, a lot of the people that I know that are in porn or camming are not super slutty, like in real life. Like, work is work, so it's different. So it's kind of weird to explain because I'm in my personal life, I'm not super slutty, and even in my work life, I'm not super slutty. Like, I'm not like, oh man, I gotta just get my dick fixed or anything like that. Like, I enjoy performing, and I enjoy having sex, and I enjoy working with people that are super nice and stuff. But there's never been a time where I'm just like roving around for sex or like pining for it or like, oh, I wish I had more scenes so that I could have more sex. Like, I get super satisfied with my personal relationship. And I think that's a big misconception because I get a ton of emails, hundreds of emails of like, I'm in Las Vegas, we should hook up. Or like, how can I book you? How can I, because I don't do any escorting or private bookings. So I think that's the thing that I run into the most is people just expecting that they can pay me to have sex with them, and I'm not available for that.
Well, as much as porn and sex work has become more mainstream, I think mainstream is in the fact that it's more accessible to a lot of people. It still has a taboo, and people still have a hard time separating like what's real and what's fantasy. You have people out there who, like you said, will send you vulgar messages, and then there's other people out there, like you said, they're not slutty, but at the end of the day, like you're an adult actress. You know what I mean? There is an act, there is a performance part to it. And can you see people on Twitter and social media and everything, and they'll act slutty and everything, and it's just like when people are like, oh well, how can you say that this person's not easy and she's not slutty? Look how she tweets. Look at she's craving dick all night on Twitter. And I'm like, to me, that's like marketing. You know what I mean? Like,
For
I
a
don't know.
lot
I
of people,
guess.
the Twitter's just marketing. I try to keep my I try to cultivate my audience, and I try to keep everything very upfront and very clear. So I don't generally tweet like that, just because I want there to be a very clear boundary between me and my fans. And I feel like they appreciate it too. Like, there's no airs, there's no sugarcoating, there's no me being like, well, maybe someday. There's none of that. So that's how I tend to run my stuff. But for the people that do tweet super slutty stuff, like, it's Twitter, so it's more like advertising, just like you said, than anything that should be taken at face value. Some people mean it, for sure, and I love them, but not everybody.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned along the lines of like when a talent tries to get into the business and get an agency, things that they are comfortable doing, things that they would, is discussable, things that are totally off the list. What are some of the things that you were totally against doing, and why were you against doing them?
There's not a whole lot that I'm totally against doing, but I think some of the things that I've turned down is I got contacted about doing electroshock play, and I'm just not into it, so I turned that down.
That just makes me scream.
Exactly. It's like, I personally enjoy being the more dominant one than the submissive one at this point in my life, and so it's like, if you want me to shock somebody else, I can do that, but
I can give the beatings, I just
no.
can't take them.
Right, exactly. It's like, we all have our place, and my place is holding the whip, and your place is taking it. So that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, I think I haven't done a gangbang yet because I don't think I'm physically ready for that. So that's a no. I don't do anal right now for any companies. I have a contract with Adriano that I will fulfill someday when I feel like shooting mainstream anal, but right now it's just not anything that I'm terribly interested in.
Now, you mentioned being physically able to do like a gangbang. Now, I look at it as, being a huge sports fan, I'm like, if in a way, like porn could be a sport, it is physical, it's not just memorizing lines. What is the daily routine for someone to stay in shape doing that type of stuff? Like, how often are you having sex to the point where, it's like, hey, like, I need to take a break? Is that a real thing?
I don't work out or anything. I'm ordering gym equipment actually this month, so that will be changing because I'm 31 and I should probably start working out now. But I don't actually have anything that I do to prepare. The more I work, the easier work is. And I do have a really healthy at home sex life. So I think that's probably all the practice that I get. But it's also kind of all the practice that I personally need. A lot of my stuff is more mainstream vanilla and realistic sex, so I'm not doing anything crazy acrobatic.
Yeah, because a
But
lot of people, like I said, that like that's something that I always kind of thought of. I'm like, you know, at what point do you give the kitty a rest? You know, because like there's people that are constantly, and again, maybe that's where I get lost in the, you know, reality part where some other people get lost. You know, just because people are posting stuff on social medias doesn't mean that, you know, they just got done
That's
doing that.
true. That's very true. A lot of the time I do space out content, so it's not always like a live tweet. I'll usually just say like, "Hey, this is what I'm doing right now," if it's like a live thing. But I will say that after a long break from porn, I like to start back out slow. But if I'm really in my groove, sometimes it's easier to get like 7 or 9 shoots in a row and just power through them. And because it kind of like stretches you out and prepares you for the next day. So if I took like a month off and I'm working back into it, I'll maybe my perfect schedule would be like come back, shoot a boy girl, then the next day have a girl girl, and then the next day have a boy girl, and then a boy girl, and then a girl girl, and then maybe 3 boy girls. So that'd be cool. But I've taken trips to Miami where I'll get there and I'll shoot for 9 days straight, and then I'll have one day off, and then I'll shoot for 3 more days, and then I'll fly home.
And it's great that you mentioned Miami because you are where in Las Vegas?
I am. I'm in Las
Okay.
Vegas. I'm
So,
born and raised.
born and raised in Las Vegas, Sin City. I mean, I guess it's tempting out there to, you know, get into like that type of work, but you do travel because a lot of shoots happen in Florida, California. I'm assuming stuff happens in Vegas, because whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But you mentioned also too that you have like a pretty healthy sex life at home, relationship wise. So, what is the strain on something like that, if there's any, from all the travel, just working so much? Like, how do you keep an equal balance like that? Because not everybody is equipped to do that, and I don't mean equipped in that way. I mean equipped in a way where people aren't always comfortable with having such an open relationship like that, an open in the meaning that, you know, you do what you do. There's a lot of travel, there's a lot of work going on. How do you deal with that?
Honestly, you deal with that up front. And the way you do that is you're very upfront and honest with everybody that you try to date, and you go, "Hey, this is my life and it's not going to change. And if you're not okay with that, then let's not waste each other's time." And that's how I've generally done it, because I've made it very clear to anybody that I date that I'm not going to quit for them. So I think that's the perfect starting point. And then after that, I think it's very important to have scheduled dates. I think it's important to have like scheduled alone time with each other. I think it's important to communicate any discomfort so that it can be addressed right away, so that it's not anything that builds up. And I think a lot of problems are caused by misunderstanding. So I think that part is the most important part. But yeah, open and honest communication, making sure people understand that you care about them. I've done this with both open relationships, and now I'm in a monogamous relationship, which is interesting. I actually haven't ever been in a purely monogamous relationship in my whole life. So this is a first. I'm learning how to navigate that. But it's actually been really easy, and I think part of that is because my partner Danny Steele is actually a performer also, so we understand that work is work.
Now, you mentioned about first time in relationships and everything. I want to go back to the origins a little bit. So, kind of take us through, like, were you always the type of person that was kind of like, you know, very open with your sexuality, you know, growing up? Like how was Alex in high school? Like, was Alex like the popular chick? Were you the nerdy chick? Were you the, you know, marching band girl? Like, all the above? Like, I don't know.
Definitely not popular. I had my dad was Pentecostal and my mom's Native American, so we didn't really cut our hair for a long time. So I couldn't wear makeup and I couldn't cut my hair. So I would sit on my hair in high school sometimes. And then finally I got the permission to cut it, I think around middle of high school. And I had a goth phase But I was always like a happy person, and I always kind of got along with everybody, but I never really got close to anybody. I didn't have my first kiss till I was in college, and I didn't have my first boyfriend until that first kiss, and then that relationship lasted for 5 years. So I was definitely not promiscuous at all. I was a virgin until I was 21, and it was with that same first boyfriend. So definitely, nobody at all anticipated, which might explain a little bit better why people were able to see me on Pornhub and not realize that it was actually me.
Yeah, I can see,
No, but no, it's.
that's gotta be wild though, 'cause like, again, you had the people that'll automatically say, okay, well, she lived in a strict household, maybe that's why she's just breaking out now. I mean, do you think that was like what caused you to just implode into the sexual blossoming, or was it just came about?
I think honestly, I just always had this like curiosity and interest in being good at sex, and I felt like it was a way to attain love, and so I studied it as a younger person and in high school and college. Like I would read biology textbooks to figure out what the different like anatomic parts of the genitalia were and stuff like that, and then I would read romance novels to hear like dick sucking techniques and stuff like that. And I would take notes, and I would find anything I could to try to be good at this kind of stuff. Because I was interested in it, and because I thought like, oh, this is how I can, have like a partner forever that won't go anywhere, is if I can like please them. And so I think that was a big part of it. And I also lost track of what I was saying.
Well, I mean, I can first say you are very good at what you do. So you have
Thank
mastered that. You are a sex guru. And I have to say, taking
you.
notes and reading up on this stuff is, I mean, that's kind of turning me on. I'm like, wow, like this, the fact that a chick's not just like, just sucking your dick or just being a whore about it, like
No.
she's book skilled whore level. Like what? Like
It's
that's
a
crazy.
yeah, it's a very active process. I don't understand people that just go to make it look pretty or whatever. I can't help myself. Like it's like, oh well, this will feel best, and then I'm always watching the person I'm with and stuff like that. So it takes a lot for me to like lose myself sometimes, because I'm always thinking about, okay, well, if I do this a little bit different, then their breath changes, and so then what if I do this? Okay, that's better.
Yeah, you can get in your own head real quick doing that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So
That's why it's important to have real sex.
yeah, well, that's gonna say what. So what is it that turns you on? Because like, I would feel like if I'm just meeting you, just on face value, where you're saying, hey, like I studied all this stuff and everything, like I'd probably have major anxiety of like, how do I turn you on? How do I get you off? How do I please you? Because I'm like, fuck, this chick's like a fucking sex Wikipedia. Like how do I conquer this girl, and then maybe that's even a wrong thought process to have. Like maybe I shouldn't think about conquering her. Maybe I should just be going with the flow. So to eliminate all that, how like what is it that gets you aroused? What gets you going?
Sure. Well, I would say if you're stuck in a situation like that ever, the best thing to do is just talk it out. And if she's an intellectual, she'll probably appreciate that you were asking questions. But if it's me personally, I'm gonna say head is the number one thing. If you know how to give me good head, that's you win. You win all the points. Because that's my favorite way to come. And by know how to give me head, a lot of people are overly confident in their head skills. And the only way to be good at head with any particular person is to actually talk to them and listen to them about what they actually want, and to pay attention to their body reactions while you're doing it. So I would say practice your head game, do your tongue exercises. As far as like kinks and fetishes, I have a like panty fetish. So I really like coming in my panties and then mailing them to people. It makes me very happy. And there's a lot of people out there that it makes them very happy to receive them, so that's super lucky. I actually was doing that before I did camming, on the down low, not showing my face, on this like French website when I was 21, 22, and selling my panties for like $50 a pop and not showing my face. And panty liners. People in the Netherlands would love to like buy my panty liners, because that was a cheaper way to get the same kind of experience.
And I'm noticing in different countries there's this like there like panties are a whole nother ball game in other countries, because like there's like in some Asian countries like there's like vending machines that I've heard that people can buy like panties out of, and I'm like
I definitely want to go. I want to go just to get the panties out of
just
the
to buy,
machine.
just put your panties
Yeah,
in
and
there,
then
work a contract out with them, you know?
right?
I
And then
got the
the only other
Frito-Lay
thing is I
guy and the
also
Pepsi
find
guy that fills the vending machines, but you're filling
it.
them up with panties. Like, hey, you know? But I mean, that's
For
all
sure.
good. That's all good information. I took great notes on that. So work on the head game, tongue skills. And people want to know why I talk a lot, why I do a podcast. I'm trying to work the mouth and the tongue skills. And I have to make sure afterwards I give you my address, because like I'm down for some soaking panties to. I don't know where I'm putting them at in the studio, but they got a story to tell, so
You know, I actually had a guy send me a photo one time because he was like, "Do you want to see? I hung up your panties." And I was like, "Yeah, I definitely want to see that." And so he sent me a photo, and it was he had nailed at least 50 pairs of panties to his wall of different people with nails, with two
You know
nails
what's
per
funny? Because
panty.
when you were starting to say that's the first vision I got in my mind, like of the old like the old Looney Tune cartoons where like they put like a stocking with like a nail and it's just like a someone's
Yeah.
pantyhose or something.
They were all spread out so you could see the front, and it was like a nail in each side. And I was like, you know what? I'm proud of you. That's exactly what you wanted to do, and that's what you did. And you know what? That's fine.
And you know, it made him
Yeah,
happy. That's all that mattered.
I've had people send me the pictures with them on their face too, which is also cute. But I think he won. I'll never forget that picture. That was perfect.
Well, I won't share my idea. Well, actually, no. I was thinking maybe like above the fireplace, like on the mantle next to the family
There you go.
portrait. You know what I mean? Like, there's the
Get
family,
it
there's the
stuffed.
dog, and then there's the wet panties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
No. But that's cool though,
gotta
that like
have them
that you have fans
stuffed
that
and on
are.
the mantle.
Yeah, that you have fans that are that, passionate. And it's cool that you have an open mind because, again, I feel like sometimes this business can corrupt people in ways where they're not approachable. They're not, they're kind of feeling themselves, they're kind of snooty.
Yeah.
How have you always remained so humble and chill with the fans? Because, again, you've been a fucking amazing to me. Coordinating all of this, and I see the interactions you have with fans, and I'm just like, wow, like, I don't know, like, I get stressed out from my 9-to-5 job from time to time. Like, how do you just live like a, kumbaya lifestyle?
Well, I'm not perfect at all. So we'll start there. But I would say that I get frustrated just like anybody else, but I try to remain grounded. There's a couple things that kind of tie into that. The first thing I was just talking about the other day is it's really hard to maintain your humility whenever you have hundreds of thousands of people screaming at you that you're perfect every day. So I think that's a trap that a lot of people fall into when they start doing this work, especially people that are younger and maybe haven't had that kind of attention before, or who aren't, they just aren't aware that's kind of everybody's getting the same thing. Like we're all getting yelled at by a group of people that think we're wonderful. And that's so sweet and not even necessarily a bad thing. But you have to keep perspective, and you have to realize, like, just because all these people say I'm perfect and I can do no wrong does not mean that I am perfect and can do no wrong. So I try to remind myself all the time that I live in an echo chamber and that I have to account for that. The other thing is, a lot of my fans are blue collar, and I worked a lot of blue collar jobs, and so I understand them, and I also appreciate them a lot more than I think some people do. Because if you haven't worked a lot of real jobs, or you haven't worked a lot of low income jobs, you don't realize how much money $20 is. You don't realize how much money $5 is. You don't. And people are like, "Oh, well, it's only $20." I'm like, he had to work at least 3 hours to get that money. And that's important. That's something that we all need to keep in mind, because my job is hard, and I work really hard, and there's a lot of emotional impact and things like that I have to deal with. And it's not a comparison game or a contest about whose job's harder, but we need to remember that we're in a place of privilege, and we, through hard work or luck or whatever, have gotten into this position where we can charge so much money for work that maybe we didn't have to go to college for. So whenever somebody buys like a video from me or subscribes to my OnlyFans, I try to keep it very, very present in my mind that that's a lot of money for that person, no matter how it feels for me. So I think that helps a lot. And then just talking to people, because I'm very hands-on and I go to at least all the Exoticas every year, and I've been doing that for a really long time. Probably at least 6 or 7 years I've been going to every single Exotica Expo. And when I go there, I stand there the whole day and I just talk to the people that come up to talk to me. And that's all I do all day for the whole time I'm there. And when you're talking to people like that, you see the impact that you have on their lives. And then you also, it reminds you like, hey, these are real people and they have interesting stories and they're choosing to spend their time on you. So instead of that making me cocky, it makes me more like, wow, I really need to live up to this.
Well said, well said. Because no, I mean, when you stop and you think about the value of a dollar, and in the times that we're in right now, with so much other stuff going on with the economy, and nobody knows what the hell's going on from day to day, but you know, the fact that these people, you know, they're, and you got to remember too, a lot of these people probably are not so open about their, you know, hobby or their, you know, what they do, because there's a lot of stigmas, there's a lot of people that are judgmental of them. So the fact that it's just like, they got to be discreet and, you know, they're spending money. So that's, I can see where that's a lot of anxiety for some people. And the fact that, you know, like you said, they're real people. So they go through things too. And the fact that you're one of those few people that escape for them is, you know, it's a genuine thing. The fact that they're spending hard earned money on you because they could be spending it on anything else in the world. So I think that's really cool, because a lot of people don't have that approach or outlook to it.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I get it, especially when you're living in an echo chamber. It's just something that we have to like actively work to not fall into the trap of. So I, you know, it's something that, especially as you get older, I think people figure out or don't. But yeah. And anytime I talk to new performers, I try to mention it like, hey, like, because a lot of new performers will talk to me about advice, especially on campsites and things. And I try not to mom people too much. But if I'm talking to somebody and they say anything about, oh, creepy fans or, oh, weird people or whatever, I always try to take a second and go, hey, like, unsolicited advice here. But, you know, and I tell them exactly what I just told you. And I hope that it kind of sinks in. That way maybe people think a little bit more before they say some things or treat somebody less than stellar.
Yeah, because like you said, it is an eye-opener for some people, because like you say, you've been to that echo chamber of where you're kind of like tunnel vision of what you're supposed to be. And like you said, people are telling you, you're great, you're great, you're great, you're beautiful, and all this other stuff. And, you know, you can get lost in your own world sometimes. But speaking of the adult world and everything, what is something that you just despise about in the business that you're like, I really wish this were not something that I see or hear, whether you've experienced it or not, but something that you just are like, oh, not this scenario again?
You know, there aren't that many things that I complain about with the industry, so it's always a hard question. And definitely, like, anything I despise about the industry as a whole, I feel like the industry as a whole is such a big monster that you can't really address it as a whole most times. Because, you know, are you including camming? Are you including porn? Are you including, you know? But I think when I really get down to it, I wish we had a better union. I wish we had a union where we could report issues on set and have them addressed by unbiased people. But, you know, with human error and everything, I don't know if it would ever be possible to have something like that about a topic so sensitive. But I've personally only had two or three negative experiences in the industry that, and I've talked to my girlfriends in the industry about this. It's like, there's annoyances, there's bad days, and then there's experiences. And I've only had two or three experiences in the last over 8 years of doing this job. And I think it's important first to say that I had way more experiences in the regular workforce than I ever have had in porn, even though the ones in porn have been more extreme. I used to get harassed constantly at my regular jobs, both by customers and coworkers and bosses. So, I think that we need to work on accountability and how we police the system and how we handle complaints about consent whenever we get them. But I think that we are doing better than most industries, unfortunately. We just have a little bit more work to do.
Now, like, it kind of does bring me into something. I mean, so obviously you mentioned anybody that follows you on Twitter, on social medias, there was an incident and something that, came about, and we kind of talked a little bit off air. I'm allowing you to kind of tell your story, tell as much of it as you want, tell as little of it as you want. If you don't want to talk about it at all, we don't talk about it at all. But I do feel it is something that happened, and I feel a lot of people were very responsive to your tweet about it and your statement about it. So if you kind of want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, of course. And so I had a bad experience on set in 2019, back in, I think, February 2019. I was only 2 months into mainstream porn, and my agent came to me with a booking. And the first red flag, and I'm going to say this for anybody that's working in porn, the first red flag was that they wanted me to leave my car at a secondary location. Only a few directors do this, and some of them are reputable. But to me, making me leave my car at another place where I can't access it is a red flag for me, especially with somebody I've never worked with before. So if I could go back, I would have just turned the booking down when they told me I couldn't bring my car. Instead, they had me leave my car at a train station, and then the guy came and picked me up and took me to his house where we were going to shoot the video. And I have the whole statement on my Twitter. If it's my pinned tweet, if anybody wants to read it. But long story short, the director talent, J-Rock, when we started the scene, tore me in like six different places. So I was bleeding everywhere. And a few other things happened that were unfortunate. And actually, there's a reporter who's interested in talking to me and a bunch of other girls who have had similar issues with this specific talent slash director, J-Rock. His Twitter is at JRockContent on Twitter if you wanted to know who I'm talking about, but it's all in the pinned tweet. But yeah, no, I was injured on set and then told that I had to continue the scene. And then when I could no longer continue the scene, I was told that I had to jerk off the director in order to get taken back to my car. and then I was told that I wouldn't be paid for the day. So I would say that's probably the worst experience I've ever had in a work environment.
Now, I don't know too much about the logistics of, porn and everything. I mean, are there contracts that like state certain things that kind of protect you against something like this? Or were you just kind of just vulnerable where it's like, I'm at the mercy of these people?
There are contracts and no one ever reads them. Everybody just signs. And it's mostly like there are NDAs, there are things like that. Thankfully, there wasn't an NDA on this set. But, it's just basic paperwork saying that you're old enough, saying that you consent to being on camera and you consent to having people sell the content and that you don't have any rights to the content, things like that. It's been a few years, so I don't remember if there was any specialty paperwork for that shoot. But I do remember that I had been told that it was for a company, and then when I got there, it was for his website. So that was also a red flag. But no, there's the only real recourse that I have in this situation is I could have gone to the police, which I absolutely should have. I didn't at the time because I didn't think that they would take me seriously, and I didn't have a ton of extra proof. Like I had my injury and I had photos of the injury, but it was still a he said, she said kind of situation. So I didn't feel like I should report it at the time. Looking back on it, I really wish I had at least reported it so there would be a paper trail. But we keep going and we learn.
And it's ironic that you say that, because there's people that have been victims of sexual assault who have a lot of the same thought processes that you were having, where I don't want to report this because they're not going to believe me.
Absolutely.
And it's easier, with 2020 hindsight now, looking at it and saying, well, no one would have believed me, and all it was, the physical injuries. But like, did you ever think about like, well, there's like DNA, you know what I mean? Or did
Well,
you think
that's
more
the
if it was like
thing
that's what
whenever.
we agreed to, rough sex, quote
Right.
unquote rough sex?
Well, we agreed to have sex, and it could have been seen as a normal injury, although it definitely wasn't. The other thing was, the main thing that I should have gone to the police about was making me jerk him off in order to be taken back to my car, because that's holding me against my will and coercing me into doing a sexual act that I did not agree to, that was not on camera, that I didn't sign any paperwork over. But at the time, I kind of blocked it out. I kind of blocked it out as being like, oh, this is just an unprofessional, stupid person, and I just have to continue placating them until I can get back to my car. Because my cell phone also wasn't working. We were in the middle of nowhere, so I had no service. So I had tried to call my agent, but I wasn't able to get through. I wasn't able to get phone service until after I'd been dropped off at my car later. So it was just one of those situations where it's like, I'm trapped here and we're here alone and this is already being demanded of me while I'm bleeding. So I'm guessing I should probably just do what I'm told until I can get out of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably been my thought process. Like, let's just like, the sooner I can get this done, the sooner I could have a possibility of getting the fuck out of here.
Right.
But I'm sorry that you had to go through that, and
I
appreciative that
appreciate it.
you are vocal and open about it, and comfortable enough to at least tell parts of it. I know that must be tough to re-experience that every time, because I'm sure other people have asked you about this question. Other people have, I've seen it on Twitter, people commenting in
I
on it, but
mean,
it helps. I think that, the bigger scope of it is that it's helping it, or may help somebody else in the future.
yeah, that's the hope, is that it would help somebody else either through spreading awareness, just to be cautious if you're working with this person, or just to be aware of red flags when you're going to any set. And one thing I feel like I don't have a too hard of a time. It definitely makes it hard to breathe, and my chest gets a little tight when I talk about it, but I feel like I don't have too hard of a time talking about it, which is why I feel compelled to talk about it, because I've gone through worse. Like, my childhood was worse than what we just talked about. And that lasted for years. So it to have this happen as an adult and to process it the way I have, it's not as hard for me to talk about it as it might be for somebody else. And so, since that's how I feel about it, I feel like it's definitely something that I should do. So I definitely appreciate that, but it does, I think it is a little easier for me to talk about because I have dealt with other things.
Now, one of the other things I'd like to mention is that, looking through your Twitter bio and everything, so you are the vice president of the APAC. Kind of tell everybody what that is and what your role is there, and why this is such an important committee to be a part of.
Thank you so much. And APAC is APAC, and that's the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. Our main goal is to spread knowledge and resources to performers, new and old, and to show people like, hey, if you need help with this, this is where you can go if you're a performer. We also have started doing social events now. We had our first one that was a really great success. We raised some money for charity, and we just got a bunch of performers into one room to hang out for the night without any work aspect being involved. So mainly we're knowledge and then also a community aspect. And I know it says VP, but I do need to change that because we all decided actually not to have positions so much anymore. We're all just equal board members. So I do need to fix that. But yeah, APAC's really fantastic. I think if you're interested in being a performer or if you're already a performer, you should check it out just because there's a lot of resources there that you might not even have thought that you might need.
Well, also, I want to kind of leave on a positive note, not to say that, the experience you went through
Sure.
is, but what's something fun that you love about the business? Like, I got some questions here from fans, but one of the questions I kept getting a lot from people were like, what do you love the most about being in the business?
Fantastic. I think the thing that I love the most, it shouldn't come as any shock from the way that we've been talking already, but it's the fans and the people that I get to meet, that I get to work with. But I'll sum it up to it's the people that I meet. Because I've met fans and performers that I feel like my life would be dimmer if I hadn't met those people, whether they're still in my life or whether they're in it for a brief moment. There's just so many emotional, like life-affirming moments that I've had with the people that I've met through this business. That's the part that I'll never let go. I still do my webcam shows live just to sit and like talk to everybody. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, I'm going to be doing this when I'm 85, and we're just going to be having a Q&A, and I'm going to be baking cookies or something, and we're still going to be on Chatterbait, still talking about all our shit. Because I get to know the people too. Like, I get to know their wives. I get to know like their lives outside of me. And so I think that's invaluable.
Well, I need a pair of those 85-year-old granny panties when you decide to bake the cookies. Make sure you're baking them in some old granny panties for me, because I want a pair of those to nail on my wall,
They're on discount this week,
Yeah,
Sonny.
exactly, and you get some free cookies with it, it's like, but our cookies were inside the panties. That's what matters.
Exactly.
So I just want to get a couple more of these fans questions out of the way, because like
Sure.
that's the great thing. And I love that you said that the great thing about being, or the thing that you enjoy the most about being in the business, is just the interaction with fans, because you've had different people that, like, when I've asked them that, and they'll give you real honest answers. And I appreciate the honesty, but some people are like, the money, or the sex, and I'm like, okay, that's a real answer, it's,
See, and I get those answers, I do, but I don't make that much money. I really don't. People think I make a lot more money than I do, but like I said, I'm blue collar, so I try to keep everything very affordable. So
Well, you got to
I can't
remember,
say it's the money.
this is the internet and it is socials, and there's a lot of people that are, flexing online that aren't
Oh, for
really,
sure.
I always tell
Oh,
people,
for
it's like
sure.
everything you see online is what they want you to see. Nobody's seeing how high
Exactly.
my electric bill was this month,
I say this all the time, especially with new performers. I'm like, look, don't buy any of this shit. You don't need any of this shit. No one else needs any of this shit. And I know people that are still that can't buy a house, but they have tons and tons of purses and shoes.
That sums up my one and only trip to Miami years ago. I was there for a week on South Beach, and I tell people I was a little bummed out. I was on South Beach. I did not see any bang buses. I did not see any porn stars or anything walking around on the beach. And that was a little disappointing. It was like a senior citizen community that I was in. So that was the first disappointment. But after being there a week, I come, I'm right outside of Philadelphia, and anybody knows the Philadelphia area. We're a blue collar, hardworking, very passionate fans of our sports and our ways of living here. After a week in South Beach, everybody was like hood rich. I'm like, everybody's got like a neon green Lamborghini but can't buy a soda at the Publix. And I'm like, I need to get the fuck out of here. Like, I can't. So, yeah, people will show you what they want you to see.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that we all need to work a little bit harder on, is being more honest on social media. And, as far as the sex part, the sex in porn is great, but the sex at home is even better. And most porn stars will tell you that if they're in a relationship.
And I'm sure your partner will love to hear
He
that.
knows he does a good job. He doesn't need me blowing smoke up his ass, but he's got that tongue action down.
See, there you go. He's been putting in the work. I can respect that. So another fan wanted to know, like, what is something that helps you relax and get away from the daily routines of being an adult entertainer? Again, we've talked about how it could be stressful, different things. What's something that like relaxes you, whether it be, a hobby, reading books, like painting, baking cookies in granny panties,
Well, you see, no, I like I haven't really made a lot of time for myself to relax in the past 8 or so years. And so I've been working on that a little more lately. I actually took a bath last night with a bath bomb, and it wasn't for content, but I ended up taking nudes anyway, so it ended up being for content. but see, that's the problem. So like I hardly ever do anything where it's not work, but actually my partner is helping me with that, and we've been traveling a little bit, and I really enjoy traveling, and I really enjoy eating food. So my recent hobby slash relaxation spoiling myself kind of thing has been finding restaurants that I want to try and dishes that I want to try and trying them. Nothing like crazy expensive or anything, but like just unique things around Vegas. And I want to start documenting it a little bit, which is going to turn it into more of a work thing. Right now it's more of a me thing, but yeah. So there's that. The bath was nice. I play with my cats. I have three cats, and they're my stress relief. Anytime I'm having a little panic attack or really, really stressing about something, I'll just lay down and I'll put a cat on my chest, and that really helps.
Well, that's some reasons right there to visit the Philadelphia area. If it's like you like traveling, there's a lot of history here, the food and the arts. And I mean, you can get a cheesesteak. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's people that are vegan and everything, but you can get a good cheesesteak here
That's
for a
the
reasonable
only
price.
thing. That's the only thing. I am not vegan. I used to be vegan in college, and it was great, but not for me. But cheese makes me nauseous. It's a weird thing. It's like an allergy almost.
Really?
Yeah, and I love the way it tastes, but if I have more than a couple bites, I start getting real woozy.
Well, we don't need that to happen. We'll just get the steak,
Yeah, so I'll
hold the
have the steak with
cheese.
extra steak.
Yeah, steak with extra steak. And like I said,
Yeah.
and say you don't have to have expensive food and everything. Then you know the new Cardi B and Offset McDonald's meal I think is roughly going for about $17. I seen it on the menu at McDonald's. It was a little much for me. It was a little
That's
too
a lot.
much. Yeah, it was a little too much intake for me. You know, it was a lot of gooey and sweets, and you know, I was just
I
like,
haven't
yeah.
seen what's on the order. Ooh,
It's
I
just
haven't
no,
seen what's on the order yet.
it's definitely a meal for two.
Okay, well, if it's for two people, that amount makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes a little bit more sense. Speaking of
Yeah.
music though, like another fan want to know, like, who are you into musically?
Ooh, that's always a fun one because they're always asking, like, who's your favorite? So I really like this more, like, who are you into? So I really like a variety of people. I like Kacey Musgraves, who's country. I like
Who's
the
hot, by the
classics,
way?
like, oh my God, so hot. Please, for the love of God, Kacey, sit on my face.
That I'm signing up for that, whatever platform that's on.
On or off camera, please. Please, Kacey. I just want to sing to you. I like Snow the Product also, and Same also, and I know she's recently single, so please call me. I have a weakness for beautiful women. It's a problem.
Me too. Damn.
I know, right? It's like, what the fuck, girls? Come
I
on.
know, exactly.
Can't be this hot all the time. But I like Snow the Product. I like Kacey Musgraves. I like Latto. She's a really great female rapper that I really like a lot. I used to listen to Cardi B a lot and Nicki Minaj, and I've kind of pulled away from them. I like Megan Thee Stallion. Let me see. Actually, I have my Spotify
I was going to say,
now that
you have
I'm
not mentioned a name yet of any female artist that I would not love to just have intimate time with.
Right? And then there's people like Ella Mai. I love Ella Mai. Her song, like, Boot Up, it just takes me right back. And then there's, let's see, we have Trisha Yearwood, Shania Twain, Doja Cat. Doja Cat is one of my favorites for sure. Dixie Chicks. We have,
So I'm noticing a lot
you
of
know, the
country in
classic.
there.
I am all over the place. Taylor Swift, for sure. That song Anti-Hero makes me cry. I really like it.
Yeah.
Post Malone. Let's see what else we have on here.
And it's cool though that you mentioned names because when I ask people like what music you're into, everybody's like, oh, I'm into everything. And that's like such an easy cop-out answer to say I'm into everything. I DJ.
Right?
I'm literally into everything because I need to be into everything, you know? So it's like you could rattle off rock names, rap names, country names, and I know, who you're talking about.
See, and I do love everything, and I am all over the place, but I've told the guys, like, look, I don't have favorites, I have moods, and it depends on the mood. This is my liked songs because I just started using Spotify, but I also like Slipknot and Metallica and The Used and fucking Shinedown
We go through our
and
moods. I go through my Ozzy's Boneyard Channel mood
Breaking
every now and then, where I'm just like, I just want to hear
We
some
were
like
literally,
80s
yeah,
rock
we were
band hair
literally
metal.
listening to NPR. We were
Yes.
listening to NPR yesterday, and I was just like singing the Black Parade, and I was like, I haven't heard the song in so long, and I know every
Yes.
word still,
Yes.
you know?
That's great that
But
you're so eclectic with the music. I love that.
I'm all over the place because my mom was all over the place. So I remember being in the car when I was a kid, and we would just sing the whole drive, anywhere we were driving. It didn't matter how far we were driving. And whatever came on, we would sing it, whether that was Eminem or Garth Brooks or or Marilyn Manson. Like it all, we sang all of it.
That's a hell
And
of a
so
Spotify shuffle mix right there.
that's how I would like to describe my music taste. It's exactly that.
Well, the cool thing is that while you got your Spotify there, if you search MMB Radio, you can subscribe to the MMB Radio podcast. Cheap plug there
Oh
for
my
anybody,
God. Let
So
me just do that right now.
let me see. We'll get one more good question out of these, because, and that's the great thing. Like, you have such a loyal fan base, and I think it's a give and take situation because you're so great to the fans that the fans are so receptive to you, and they send in such, amazing questions. And I usually don't mention people's handles because, again, people like to be a little incognito, a little discreet when they're asking questions. But this was something that I get asked on a lot of podcasts for this. But what's something that people would be very surprised about you, whether it be a hobby or, like a hidden talent, something that would people be like, I would have never guessed that.
You know, I already used up my never guess that with the whole being a virgin at 21. I fucking used that up earlier. So
That
just
shocked me
pretend I
when you
used that
said
now. Yeah,
it.
I know you played it cool, but you know, but
That's the
so
good thing
there's
about
that.
audio only. If the cameras were on, you would have saw my face and been like, what? Really? Like,
See, you have to record your face and put it on YouTube. That would be great.
yeah. That's why I tell people, I said I have a face for radio. I don't,
Yeah.
I couldn't make it in the webcamming world or YouTubing
Have
world. And
you seen some of them YouTubers? Come on. Come
well, you also
on.
mentioned
Look
that they could have
at
a
Papa
hundred
Meat.
million fans and nobody would know
Look
who they
at
are, so.
I'm just saying, look at Papa Meat. He's a voluptuous man and he does great. If anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about, he's a cartoonist and you should definitely check him out. It's very weird shit, but please check him out. I want everyone to watch him, his weird shit. But I guess since I already used that one, I would say, fuck, I don't know,
Like,
man.
do you like have like a weird secret talent or something? Like, are you double jointed, or you know what I mean? Can
I'm
like
definitely
say the
double
alphabet
jointed.
backwards, or I don't
I'm
know.
definitely double jointed. I can turn my arms all the way around. But here's the hard part is I don't know. I can't think of anything that they don't already know. So maybe it just I draw. I draw. The
Okay.
last name Cole. Alex is my real name, but because I'm unoriginal. But Cole is actually not my real last name. Shock and awe. So Cole actually comes from charcoal. And when I first started doing webcam, I was doing custom artwork for people. And I was really stuck on charcoal and ink at the time. And so I was like, last name, Cole, that, yeah, fine, four letters. And it's the thing I love right now. And then everybody thinks that it's like, oh, you're going to get coal in your stocking if you're naughty, haha. And it's like, sure, yeah, I meant for that to happen.
Fill
I
my
planned
stocking
that
up
all
with a nail
along.
tacked to the wall,
Exactly.
and it's funny that you mentioned about having the last name Cole, because everybody who kind of follows the podcast knows and follows me on socials knows I'm a huge wrestling fan. And it's funny, I got a request, and I wasn't even going to mention this, but since you brought up the last name, so there's a wrestler that goes by the name of Adam Cole, and his signature thing is he gets the whole crowd to chant Adam Cole, baby. So the fan wanted to know. They're like, "Can you get her to say it's Alex Cole, baby?" And I'm like, "I
Okay, but
could
how
ask
does
her."
he say it?
Well, like, I mean, he kind of gets like the crowd all riled up, and then like, well, he doesn't say it, but he get
Baybay?
baby, like baby, like baby, you know,
Okay.
like.
It's like it's Alex Cole, baby.
Yes, exactly, just like that, you know. So he gets the fans all like riled up, and he don't even say it. Like he just throws his arms up in the air, and the crowd just goes, "Adam Cole, baby!" And it's
Oh
like his
my
signature thing.
God.
And I just thought that was kind of cool that a fan wanted me to request you to say that.
Absolutely. Well, it's Alex Cole, baby. And you guys should tweet at Adam Cole and see if he wants to make a video.
Yeah, I
Because
mean.
that'd be hilarious.
That would, you know. I mean, I don't know how well his wrestling partner girlfriend would feel about it, but she's very
Oh
hot too.
no.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I mean,
Yeah. But she's
I'm happy
hot.
to I'm happy to open the gates first. I'm super down.
Well, she's a dentist, so, you
Or
know.
second thought, we could listen to Snow. Second thought is, I could always hook up with his girlfriend, and then he could cheer on Alex Cole, baby.
Yes, well
So I
played,
mean,
well
it's
played.
one or the other or both would be fine. I want to do it for the meme.
Well,
So no offense meant at all.
the cool
I
thing is.
definitely, that's one thing, is as a porn person, I do try to make a point to respect people's relationships just because I know like we shoot cheating porn and stuff like that. But personally, I have been cheated on before and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So, all due respect to Miss Lady.
Yes, well, that's the cool thing is that like her gimmick is it's not and it's not even really a gimmick because it's real life. Like she's a dentist by day and wrestler by night.
Oh.
Like she has her own practice, you know. So you know, maybe dentist, maybe oral hygienist versus dentist. You know, like there's ways that you could market this.
Oh, fuck yeah. And then it's like, ooh, yeah, drill my cavities and then break me in half, please.
Yes, you know, and just, you know, put you in like a submission lock. And it's like, hey, you know,
Yes, exactly.
I will have to send you pictures of her. You like, you will, I will, yeah, I will get you
Yes,
excited about this
please.
chick. But yeah, definitely when this is up and running and, you know, if they're listening to it, we're definitely tagging them on this. Like, hey, you guys got shouted out all the way at the end of the podcast. So you have to listen to the whole episode to get the real, you know, the real juice on that. But let everybody
Catchy.
know where they could find you at online, because online presence is like everything now. If you don't have an online presence, it's like, why are you even here?
Yeah, I see. I know how it is. Well, it's super easy. I put all of it at one link, one place. It's alexcolexxx.com. And since social media is a little wonky these days, just as long as you bookmark alexcolexxx.com, that's alexcolexxx.com, you'll always be able to find me.
Well, anything else you want the fans to know before we allow you to journey off into the sunset to play with your cats and draw with charcoal and everything else that's great?
I'll tell you what I'm about to do is I'm about to go downstairs and eat a Five Guys burger and fries.
I'm about to order
That's
that
what's
Cardi
gonna
B an
happen.
offset meal and have an
Oh, it's
upset
down there
stomach.
waiting for me already. I got Five Guys waiting on me right downstairs, ready, hot and ready to go.
That's what everybody wanted to hear, that you had five guys downstairs, you know.
I
But if you had,
know. I
and you
thought it
said you
was
didn't do
fun.
gangbangs.
I know, it's a surprise.
And then
And
you got
that
five
just means on
guys.
camera. Well, thank you so much. There's really nothing else I want to say other than, I love your faces. Thank you for having me on. This was really fucking fun. And if they want to ask you more questions, I'm always down to come back.
Yes, you're
And
always
then,
welcome to come back.
thank you. And then to everybody out there, like, have a good day. And, like my grandma used to say, never let the bastards see you sweat. So just keep a smile on your face and be nice to people, and it will come back around to you. And don't give anybody who's trying to get your goat the satisfaction of giving it to them.
Unless you're sweating in the panties, which then
Okay,
DM her your address and your Venmo and all
no,
that other good stuff, and we will get those out to you ASAP.
no, 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 no.
Well,
Yes.
we appreciate it and we thank you again for talking to us. It's been fucking awesome having you on. And again, you're welcome on anytime you want. Anytime you want to just talk about anything. I don't give a fuck if it's about, you know, the weather. or weather balloons or spy balloons or whatever you want to talk about,
Ooh.
you let us know. We will
Next time.
we'll give you the
Next
platform.
time on MMB Radio, we talk about the Chinese spy balloon.
Well, we appreciate it again, Alex. You have a great evening.
You bet. You have a good time too, okay?
Hi, I'm Alex Cole, and you're listening to Mixmaster V on MMB Radio.